بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Life. On this a bit little warmer Monday afternoon, I think after the extreme cold spell that we had last week, we can finally soak up some winter warm sun today. And let's hope that it stays like this for the rest of the week as well. I pray that you are all well and all keeping safe. And as you know, the third wave is now officially upon us, especially in Gauteng. And we are nearing our peak with some of the highest amounts of cases in the country. Let's be safe, my dear listeners. Let's keep our families, our communities, and our fellow humans safe. Stay home as much as you can and spread hope during this pandemic. It's been upon us for a long time. We're hoping that it can leave us soon. But while it's with us, we need to take the precautions. We need to share some positive thoughts with your loved ones and just count your blessings. And remember that this too shall pass. You know, nothing lasts forever, not even the coronavirus. So again, stay home, stay safe, and fight hard. That's the best cure for this that we can find for now till the corona for the coronavirus. And remember, my dear listeners, you're braver than you believe, and you're stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. So follow guidelines and take the precautions and just do what is best for yourself, for your loved ones, for the whole world, inshallah. Ameen. Today's show is one that I hope will leave you all with some food for thought. It's about an ordinary woman, just like me and you, with an extraordinary life journey. Authoritative and transformational life coach. Authoritative and transformational life coach, a widow, a remarkable being who is surviving cancer, and a loving mother, Sister Sharifa Ahmed. And when I introduce, as I call her, Auntie Sharifa, as a loving mother, it is a title that is so fitting for her, as she is known by many as not only a loving mother to her kids, but to her community. She's passionate, she's kind, she's empathetic, and she's most nurturing. And that's why it gives me such great honor to have her on my show today to share with us her life's journey. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Auntie Sharifa. Welcome to my show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, loving daughter Khadija. Thank you so much for honoring me and allowing me to be part of your show.
Thank you so much, Auntie Sharifa, for accepting to be a guest on my show today. I always wanted to share I always hope that I would able to share with you, with everybody, your life's journey and your life story, because I find you are one of my greatest role models, and I'm just so honored to have you on my show today to speak about your life's journey. And, you know, Auntie Sharifa, we talk about a journey, and we know that a journey is somewhat like, it's just a common metaphor for life, as it reminds us that this destination, it's not our only goal. Like with any form of a journey, there are times when the roads are straight, and there are times when they are winding, there are ups and there are downs, and there's always these deep potholes along the way. Let's talk a little bit about you. Take us back on the beginning of your journey.
Alhamdulillah, you put it very well. Life is certainly a journey, and we are all going to be going to our destination, inshallah, and we mustn't lose sight of it. When I'm looking at the beginning of the journey, I always look at the time of my marriage. But prior to that, at the age of 7, I lost two very important or the most important people in my life at that point of time, being my beloved mother and my paternal grandma within a period of 2 months. My father was devastated because the two most important women of his life had left us. And that was a shattering experience. It was the first shattering experience. Alhamdulillah, we had a second mother and little sister and brother, and we became a family again. But of course, that vacuum was never filled. But I think what happens in life is that Allah Ta'ala's plan is always the best plan, and that type of grief that I had to endure, and all four brothers and sisters that we were siblings from my mom, it was just part of our growth. I thereafter got married very young and had a wonderful marriage and three beautiful sons, alhamdulillah, very loving sons. And then suddenly, in 10 years ago, in 2011, in August, my husband was suddenly diagnosed with cancer. So by the time he was diagnosed, it had already metastasized to his lungs and brain. And everything happened just too quickly. We were not ready for it. We never expected it. And he, I think, most of all, didn't expect it because he worked till the day he got admitted into hospital. He was passionate about his patients.
Alhamdulillah.
So on the August the 17th, he got diagnosed. And of the same year, within 10 weeks, November the 11th, he passed on. November the 9th, he passed on. So after that, I was totally empty. My husband and I were so close that I was going with him to the surgery as well, and I was the practice manager, and so we did everything together. So the day I would have a headache, he wouldn't open the surgery. So getting sick for me was a luxury that I couldn't afford. And he was my best friend. He was everything to me. And so when suddenly he wasn't there, I had an emptiness that I can't even describe. I can't begin to describe. I tried to put myself together and wind up the surgery things and get all the medicines to go back to the suppliers and then give everything else, et cetera, jaria and so forth. And then ask Allah for guidance every night. And then I'm a tutor as well. I started doing my tuition again in my iddat because I find children to be very healing. Early on in my days when I was younger, I taught and grew in Pakistan when my husband was studying, and then I became a principal, and then I lectured at the Aga Khan University, but I'm not a formal teacher at all. I have all the experience, but no, I haven't studied towards it. So I started tutoring, and then as soon as my iddat was over, we all went for Umrah and went to the three harams, alhamdulillah, fulfilled my husband's wish because he wanted to go. And then I joined, at that point of time, it was called the Gardens for Voluntary Work. And I think that because I got busy looking at people that were less privileged than I was, it became very meaningful. These visits to California became very, very meaningful to me. And tutoring, of course. Getting the children to come, and that time we didn't have COVID, and it was just like one big happy family.
It was fulfilling,
Yeah, it was very fulfilling. And so that's how the years passed. And then at the age of, when I got widowed, I was 54.
Okay.
And then at the age of 60, there was another turning point in my life because I realized that most of the children that come to me for tuition are not weak students per se, but the main reason was that they had a lot of baggage. And that was my intention for going for life coaching, to try and help them to see the better part of themselves, which was just being hidden away from them. And that is why I did life coaching. So at the age of 50, I became a life coach, and I learned more about myself, my relationships with my children, my siblings, and my children that were coming. So that was a big plus for me. And I didn't mention that after uncle passed away, my idda period was very, very good for me. My idda period was so good for me that when it was beginning to end, I was getting scared because I knew that the power of prayer during the idda period is something so great.
Great.
And I went through my stages of grief where I was in denial first, and then I was grief-stricken totally. I was angry.
Angry, yeah.
A lot of anger. And then there was growth and grace, and then there was gratitude. Gratitude for all the beautiful years that we spent together. Gratitude that I am his wife, and inshallah, Allah's promise for us that we will be reunited in the year after. So then the entire perspective changed. And I realized now I've got to work on myself.
So, and is this how you found your balance, Auntie Sharifa? Doing life coaching at the age of 60, after having been through all this, did you find that this was how you found Your balance.
Yeah. Actually, my balance also was found through the beautiful stories that I read in the Hadith and by the great women of Islam. I was highly inspired by Bibi Aisha. I was highly inspired by Bibi Hajar and how she was left in the desert and how she didn't crumble and fall, and she just knew that it was by the commandment of Allah. Then she knew that He will never abandon her. And when I saw that type of iman, then I thought to myself that these stories in the Quran and these stories in the Hadith are there for us to learn from, for us to gain strength from, for us to try and be like them. So that,
yes,
that
they also went through their tests.
Gee.
Hello, Auntie Sharifa, are you still with me?
Yes.
So, you know, it's a lesson for us to learn. They also, in those days, such beautiful, perfect women in Islam, also were put through big tests that they had to overcome.
Yes, yes, they were. Mm-hmm. And despite all of it, they did so much more that in today's day and age also we can't imagine trying to accomplish it, you know?
Yes.
So we have these epic examples of great women in Islam that for me, they steered my thinking, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And what was through all these challenges, what was the biggest challenges that you actually faced? And how did you, I mean, you had all these diverse roles of being a daughter and a sister, a wife, then a mother. Then how did you, I mean, even your practice manager in your late uncle's practice, how did you manage, how did you face all these challenges? I mean, having to fulfill all these diverse roles.
I don't know. I have to say that, you know, Allah has been so kind to me that whatever I do, I love doing it. When I was in the surgery, I loved being there for the patients, to be able to speak to them, encourage them. You know, it made me feel good. When I see my children, it makes me feel good. I have a very different relationship with my children. I have three boys, and my oldest is more like a brother to me. So there's a lot of respect from me towards my oldest son. And my second and my youngest son, they're all so close to me. But how can I say? It's a very beautiful relationship where there's just respect and a lot of respect. So I love that role of being a mother. I think that role also is very important to me because I lost my mother so young.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, understand. So I feel that
you know,
after the age of 35 has been a bonus for me because my mom died so young.
Yes.
And then that is what makes me to try and be the best grandma, because I lost my grandma when I was so young. So I know about that vacuum, and I know how I remember just small things about her. So I know my grandchildren will remember them, and that is why I try and put it in their memory banks.
Yeah. You know, and those are the important things in life. I'm sure that's the most important thing in your life is just keeping your family happy and just being the best mother that you can possibly be. When I say mother, I mean not just a mother. Like I said when I introduced you, I think you are not just a mother to your children, but a mother by nature. And your loving and compassionate nature is just, it attracts everybody to you. I know I personally, I get attracted to you and what you say and the way you say it. And I wish I could spend more and more and more and more time just listening to you speak. So I think, you know, your life lessons of not having found or not having grown up with your own mother probably gives you that, where you let yourself out to be that mother to everybody around you.
Yeah, I think it, right? You know, I think I can't take credit for anything. I think whatever it is Allah that guides us. And Allah instills that love in our hearts. And there's no price tag to that, you know. Because I always pray to Allah that keep my heart soft and my eyes moist so that I can see the pain of others and I can recognize it, you know. Because that is the tragedy of life, where we can't understand people. And so that is why I try my best to do it.
Alhamdulillah. And Sharifa, you know, what was your biggest self-discovery or revelation in your life?
that we are not in charge, that Allah is in charge of everything, that Allah has got the best plan for us, and whatever Allah does, this is what I discovered, and this is what gave me the most strength. Whatever Allah does is not out of His wrath, it's out of His mercy. Even my diagnosis for cancer, even my being a widow, even mommy leaving us, everything was by His mercy. And once I see it from that perspective, I become far more accepting. I embrace what comes my way because I know He is in charge and He loves me 70 times more than I love my children.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes. So then that makes me embrace it, and that makes me think of that you know that verse in the Quran, sometimes something happens to you and sometimes you want something and you think it is good for you but it is not. You know?
Yes.
You know that verse.
Mm.
And that is the verse that I fell in love with. And then there's another hadith that the true believer will be one that if something is good for him, he'll be happy. And if something he doesn't get, then too he's happy because he knows Allah's plan is the best. Those are the types of things that you know what, they steered me in such a beautiful way that I became a person that's totally content. I became peaceful. How can I put it? I just became peaceful. I became very peaceful. Well, when uncle passed away, I realized that my whole life revolved around him. He was my focus. He was everything to me. And then I realized when he passed away, shamefully I realized that I didn't even give Allah that importance. Can you believe it? I didn't give our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that importance. I just hero worshipped my husband, which is a good thing. I love him still so much. But the thing is that I had to have it in the correct order. And then I realized that Allah took him for me to realize that who created him after all. Allah created him.
Of course,
with cancer, I started loving Allah even more. Because I realized that what he's doing, he's still saving me. I don't know how much he has saved me from. You follow?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Are we still on? Sorry, yes, Auntie Sharifa, I think we're having a bit of a technical glitch.
We're on.
Okay. All right, we're going to move to a short ad break. And when we get back, I would love if you could share with us your journey of being diagnosed with cancer. And how are you handling that and what it is all about for you. So let's just take a short ad break, inshallah. And when we get back, we'll get back to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the show. You are on Let's Talk Live, and we are in the second half of our program today. We are talking to Sister Sharifa Ahmed. We're speaking to us about her life's journey. And if you've just tuned in with us, then please stay with us till the end of the program, because this is a remarkable tale about life lessons, about how to endure your patience, acceptance, about how to have gratitude, and finding your purpose, and most importantly, having tawakkul in Allah. With that, I welcome you back to the show, Auntie Sharifa.
Jazakallah so much, Khadija, loving daughter.
Auntie Sharifa, before we got off onto the ad break, you mentioned something to the effect of you having been diagnosed with cancer. Tell us a little bit about that, about your journey from the beginning to where you are now.
Gee. Well, if you look at it this way, Alhamdulillah, it's a year now that I was diagnosed. I was diagnosed on June the 5th of 2020 last year. Symptoms were not taken very seriously by me, which was mainly abdominal cramps and diarrhea with some weight loss. I didn't really notice the weight loss because of the clothes that I wear. I normally wear tracksuit trousers with abaya. So one day my granddaughter told me that I look much thinner, and actually I laughed and told her, well, my brothers in the medical fraternity will be very happy about that because I am overweight. Not thinking much of it. When I went for a checkup, I was informed that I had tumors, but at that point they didn't make them malignant, and they suggested an operation to be done as soon as possible. After discussing it with my brothers and sister, we came to the conclusion that we won't waste any time, and in the same week we had the operation done. I didn't ask for the diagnosis. I was 5 days in ICU and a few days in the general ward. I only asked for my histology when I came home. I asked my sister, Dr. Shakira, to tell me. And then I was told that I've got two types of cancer. It's a very rare cancer. It's actually called globular cell adenocarcinoma, which has got to do, in simple words, it's a cancer of the colon with a neuroendocrine element. So the neuroendocrine element is the rare one. So it's actually two cancers that combine in one, which start off in the appendix.
Okay.
They had to put a colostomy bag for me because my colon was quite was harmed quite badly, and I still have the bag. So there was some adjustment over there. I became very, very weak. I was unable to walk properly. I was beginning to lose a lot of weight, and I couldn't eat. I was on a liquid diet for about 10 weeks. When you get cancer, you have to be willing to give up the life you planned, and you have to welcome the life that's waiting for you.
Yes,
that is what cancer is about. If you compare cancer with any other chronic illness, the difference is that cancer is actually considered the death sentence, which I don't agree with. I think actually cancer is a life sentence, because it's only after I got cancer that I started appreciating life more.
Yes.
You know, the blue skies, the little birds, the sounds of the birds, all these became meaningful for me, things that I took for granted.
Your whole perspective changed.
Yeah, my entire perspective changed. You realize with cancer, it's going to be lifelong checkups. Even if they tell you you're in remission, you never know when you can have it metastasizing to another organ. Of course, the side effects of the medication, the chemo, cancer is not a walk in the park.
No, it isn't. And I'm sure also, you know, because Uncle was also diagnosed with cancer and you went through that journey with him for that period of time. It must have been a very difficult part of your journey now that you have to face it yourself.
Actually, I was feeling my children and my grandchildren so sorry. I wasn't thinking about myself, because I knew that they were devastated knowing that Papa left us and now Ma. I that is what made me put up a stronger face for them to think that I'm okay, you know. So even if I would be having pain, I would try not to show it so much. And then the chemo started. The chemos, of course, as we know, are very difficult. You know, you've got this excessive vomiting, dehydration, getting admitted into hospital again, or getting drips at home. There's a lot of invasive procedures that take place. But then you have to look at the pros and cons of everything. Do you know when Uncle was diagnosed with cancer and he passed on, I told my children, if I ever have cancer, please, I'm not going to do chemo.
Yeah, I did.
There was no other way. The oncologist said there's no other way to combat this disease. You have to have chemo. And so I had it.
Must have been a difficult challenge for you to accept that, you know, this is my fate now.
Yeah,
I got to do this.
Yeah, it's very difficult to deal with. But Khadija, like when I became a widow, I read in the hadith about how Bibi Aisha, she was such a young widow. And what did she do with her life thereafter? And I was to gain strength from that. When I got cancer, I went on to Facebook to every group on cancer. I'm on so many cancer groups, and on every group on colostomy and ileostomy bags to know how they... First, I used to only read about how they're coping, what they're doing. And then I used to find out that they had no support structure. Some of them had little children to look after, plus they had the disease. Some of them didn't have funding. Some of them had nobody making food for them, and they were asking for easy ways out for them how to eat, because they didn't have strength to go into the kitchen. And then so much of gratitude crept into me. You follow?
Yes, definitely.
I like to know what I'm dealing with. So that is why I joined all these groups. And now, today, after a year, alhamdulillah, I am one of those that can give encouragement to others. You follow?
Alhamdulillah, you can share the support and you can help those.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what is the support been like for you, Aunty Sharifa, on a personal basis?
My support structure is is so great, alhamdulillah, that I'm in total shukr and sabr. My children, my daughters, my son's wives, my daughters-in-law, my grandchildren, my siblings, the community at large, my neighbors, I have no words. My children and grandchildren and daughters-in-law have all built palaces in Jannah. They are doing so much for me. I have no words to thank them, alhamdulillah. Mm. But not only them, even my siblings, even my neighbors, even the community at large, how many people used to ask me, what can I have? The soups and this and that would just come to me. You know, and that is when I realized, when I used to look at these people that live, you know, in different countries and how they battle, I say, Ya Allah, you have blessed me with so much.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. But I have to just say something with you regarding cancer, that the statistics for cancer in 2018 were 18 million cases worldwide. 18 million cases. 8.5 million being men and 9.5 million being women. And in 2018 alone, 9.5 million people died of cancer, which means that's about 26,000 daily. And those are the statistics. In South Africa, regarding cancer in children, right now, 800 to 1,000 get diagnosed annually. And the statistics say that half of the children in South Africa are still not even diagnosed. It means that they believe there are so many more that are suffering from cancer.
Allah make it easy for everyone.
And 400,000 annually internationally are being diagnosed. And the most common cancers in children are the leukemia, the lymphoma, the brain, and followed by thyroid. And of course, for adults, it's prostate, breast, and lung cancer, which are. But now, colon cancer is becoming also very, very common.
Very common. I think it's one of the greatest, biggest diseases out there that one is faced with. You know, Auntie Sharifa, you have this great positive mindset. You've always been this happy person and positivity all the way through all this. Through all these trials, I won't say difficulties, because I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those that He loves, and He puts this upon those that He loves. And every challenge that we go through is from Allah, and it is with His will that we are there. But how do you mentally create the space of optimism?
I think it's because of gratitude. I'm a person that likes to count my blessings. Like when we used to go to California and give the sandwiches to the people, and sometimes they would ask for two or three more. And but I used to see with what humility they used to ask, and I used to come home and open my fridge and see that all my cabinets are full with food. And I used to sometimes feel guilty. So when I look at my health also, I even always read about the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam and his trials that he went through with his health. And then gratitude just comes in. I'm a person that's very grateful, and I know Islam is a very optimistic religion. You know, the Battle of Badr and so forth, and how positive everybody was. And that is why I'm just so positive. And I know Shaitan likes us to be depressed and lose hope. So I definitely don't want to please him. I want to please Allah. So I'm always bright and happy. I just love being happy, because there's so much to be happy about.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm so excited about the year after, like, for instance. You know, I read up about the year after, and then I'm just smiling from year to year and waiting, but I know I have to earn it. So then I ask Allah to help me to do those things that can bring me closer to Him.
That gives me a shiver down my spine, you know, to hear you say that you are so excited for the year after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get us all to that point where we have to look forward to the real life, and that is in the year after.
Yes, inshallah. Ameen.
Love for that. Ameen. You know what? Whatever we're doing in this world and whatever we're living for in this world is for the year after. And you say it so with so much enthusiasm that you're so eager for the year after, inshallah. And Allah reward you with all that you are going through in this world. May He build you just the biggest palace ever in the year after, inshallah.
Inshallah, all of us, Ameen, all of us.
And Sharifa, what advice would you give a widow or even a cancer survivor that just wants to survive? You know, everybody, there's so many women out there that that are struggling and they're not as positive as we would all want to be? And but what advice can you give them to just survive?
We have to look at those that are less fortunate than us, number one. Number two, we have to remember that we're not the only widows. I looked at the statistics. In June 2020, the number said 258 million widows in the world. Mm-hmm. 1 in 10 of them live in extreme poverty. So we've got to count our blessings. That we've got our 3 meals. We've got a roof over our head. We've got medication when we need it. We have a jersey when we're cold. We've got a fan when it's hot. So we've got to count our blessings. So that is what I tell the widow. And if your children love you, count your blessings even more, because then we are even more blessed. And as far as the cancer patient is concerned, this one cancer patient really struck in my heart. She said, what would you do if you were told you have a 2% chance of survival? And she answered, 2% is not 0%. I wish people would know how beautifully uplifting that is.
Yes.
The breath we take is a gift, and is actually a miracle. So if a person of that, knowing that she's got only a 2% chance of survival, can be that optimistic, how can we not?
Most definitely. Some final words for our listeners, Aunty Sharifa. We are nearing the end of our program.
Yes.
Some final words of inspiration.
Yes. I'm always a positive person, and I want everybody to be positive. I want everybody to look at the brighter side, because there always is a brighter side. Inshallah ta'ala, at the end of this month, if COVID, Allah allows COVID to allow us to go, then my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandchild, and my 2 granddaughters and I will be going on a holiday. So, always be happy, always be thankful. And Allah says, if you are grateful, I will give you more. So if Allah has said this to us in the Quran, how can we not be grateful? I can only say, be grateful and be happy. Because in that way, it is a form of acceptance. It is a form of sabr. That is all I can say.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, Aunty Sharifa. You know, especially for this awe-inspiring hour with you. And thank you for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom. I have no words. Really, you inspire me to another level. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a life filled with all your heart's joys and blessings. And may Allah's shifa be granted upon you for your best benefit, inshallah. Thank you so much for being part of the program. It was a great honor having you on my show today.
Jazakallah so much, loving daughter. Keep
around. And if you do end up going on that holiday, just have the best time of your life. Forget about everything and just have the best time of your life.
Inshallah, ameen, ameen. Every day is a blessing. Every day is a blessing for me. When I sleep at night, I'm totally at peace and so thankful for the beautiful day.
Alhamdulillah for that.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, my darling. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm taken aback, my dear listeners. For me, Aunty Sharifa is an epitome of resilience and purpose. You know, her zest for life and her optimism makes one think about the real reason that we are living. We are breathing of, and what are we breathing for? Exactly what are we here for? What is our purpose? And just being around her, talking to her, talking to people like her, her energies, her spirit, and her enthusiasm will leave you wanting to just face your life with the best, in the best way that you possibly can. So you think to yourself, you know what, I can do this. I mean, if somebody can have so much of great energy and so much of great spirit and enthusiasm in them, then I can live my life to the best that I can. And for all the amazing women who are undergoing these remarkable journeys, and there's many, for I think every woman goes through a remarkable journey just like this in their own way. You know, everyone's battling a journey. Everyone's trying to find themselves, to float above waters. Just know that you are not alone. You are loved and you are cherished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And surely Allah tests those whom He loves dearest. You know, when we respond to Allah's grace and we have tawakkul in Allah, then He begins the supernatural work of transforming you. And you will experience the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's spirit, which will be, let's pray that it will be manifested in our lives forever. And this thing that we call life is not a destination with an end, but it's actually a path down which we continue the journey as long as we can breathe. So life is to be loved. It's not meant to be squandered, or it's not meant to give away waiting for the end to close up upon us. So every day might not be a good day, but there's always good in every day. Stay hopeful, remain positive, and show gratefulness. Auntie Sharifa has stressed upon this, that it's the gratefulness. When you show the gratefulness, you reap the benefits of being grateful. Your life is peaceful. You sleep, you're content. And a powerful attitude awakes the inner strength, you know, the energy, the motivation, and the initiative. So keep your attitude positive. I mean, look, you can be positive at the age of 60, going out and becoming a life coach and finding that positivity that you need, finding that purpose that you need in life. It's never too late. Let's continue to fight. Let's continue to fight all those difficulties that are taking us down. Let's continue to fight the coronavirus. You know, we have what it takes. And today's show has to have made you believe that you have it in you to conquer all your tests and your obstacles. You are brave enough, you are resilient, and you are amazing. This show is about you, ordinary, beautiful woman with extraordinary stories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and forgive our shortcomings. And may we all become better humans to do better than we did before. Thank you for your time on today's show. Do join us again next week, same time, as we continue to share remarkable stories, advice, guidance, motivation, and great inspiration. Stay safe and stay blessed. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.